Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite AfterBuzz TV after show begins, I'm so excited to tell you that my new cookbook is out. It's called The Every Girl's Guide to Cooking. It's the quickest, fastest, easiest, most amazing recipes for kitchen newbies and chefs alike. Please check out MariaMenounos.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers. Welcome to the House of Cards Chapter 41 After Show. My name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Shaka Strong, and I'm joined here by my host,
Michael Klaus. You can join me on Instagram at The Only MC, on Twitter at Michael Klaus TV. I'm like 2 likes away from 400 on Instagram. So, you know what, followers, please. Indulge me.
Yeah, come on, help him out. He's been like struggling all week. No, I'm kidding. hey guys, my name is Maria Cavasudo, and you can find me at Maria Cavasudo on Twitter and Instagram, and then at MGCVSST on Snapchat.
All right, and I am Kevin Ellis. You can find me on Twitter at TheKevinEllis or on Instagram at KevinEllis25.
Well, let's get into it, guys. Yeah, what a great episode.
Very good.
One thing I found with this episode is I had to watch it twice. There's always a couple episodes every season where I'm just like, what really just happened? Let me watch it again. Did you guys feel the same way?
There's so many relationships and just, you know, people and subplots that I think a lot of these episodes are that it's like, wait, hold on, or at least pausing it. What I'll do for most of the time is I'll pause it. Especially you can do that and on Netflix. Because you just like, okay, wait, let me connect the dots here. Okay, this person is, all right, let me go to IMDb. Okay, now we're good to go. Press play again.
Yeah, I had to actually go back a little bit and put subtitles on the first time around. And then the second time around, I made sure that they had them. Because sometimes, they use a lot of words. The writing is very heavy. It can be sometimes a little dense, but in a good way. So I feel like the subtitles really helped me out.
The plot lines this week were jumping around. There was a lot of political jargon that we had to kind of like work our way through. As you mentioned earlier before the show, we were talking about super PACs and just understanding super PACs and how they work, and that's a big deal in this episode, especially with the Jackie Sharp element.
Yeah, I love that. You know, they write very true to themselves, you know, so they're not going to dumb it down, so sometimes we got to catch up. But
and you're also relying on looking at kind of past seasons again, and we're introducing some new characters here. Not new, but, you know, additional characters that we've had in past season. You're like, okay, what was that relationship again? How did that all work together? So it's kind of playing catch up here sometimes.
Yeah, they really make your brain do some churning, you know, do some work.
Yeah, and they had me confused at the top of the episode. So we get Claire having a meeting with Doris Jones and Celia. And Celia now seems to be on board with delaying her run. What do you guys think about that? That comes a very quick turnaround.
I thought it was crazy. Well, it was cool to see Elizabeth kind of rallying behind her daughter, getting together with her friends, saying, you know, let's raise some money, let's go against Frank, let's raise $3 million for Heather Dunbar. So they put some money on into Jackie Sharp's super PAC, which then is going to turn into Claire's money in the end, which is, I guess, what the goal is. I mean, I thought it was really confusing, and that's what I had to watch a second time, is to really understand these little details that they throw on every single episode. But I think it's a great element. You can see that Claire is trying to be a politician, dealing with Doris, trying to finally like turn her towards her side, win the 30th. But as we find out later, that's just not the case.
Can we just point out that most people go to their grandparents and their grandparents' friends for maybe a couple $1,000s for an investment? And here, you know, millions.
Yeah, that's pocket change for them. They don't deal in thousands. That's just easy money for them. I actually was very surprised to see Celia kind of like on board for the whole Claire thing, because I'm like, I don't understand really where that change came from, but maybe it's possibly that, you know, her mom is a little older and she kind of maybe wants to see some changes and can actually see it happening with Claire, like, you know, helming the boat. So yeah, it was kind of strange, but I was like, okay, maybe there was a change of heart, but not quite. It looks like this stuff gets in the way.
Something that I always keep in mind is that everyone else is a pawn. You know, everyone else is a pawn. You have your main characters and you have your pawns. So clearly Celia's a pawn.
And knowing that the Breast Cancer Research Center is coming.
I thought that's where you were ending.
I was going to say, it took a pause.
It took a pause. We got there. Don't worry, it's a clean show. But we got there, and it was, I mean, as you can imagine, as was explained later, there's a large African-American population in this district, and a lot of them are dealing with the threat of breast cancer, as it's a lot higher in the African-American population. And so it's huge. It's huge for this district. And it's something that Doris has been trying to get done for years, and it hasn't come to fruition. So knowing that Celia can actually bring this to her mother, knowing that, hey, we can get this piece of legislation through because we've got Jackie Sharp on our side, because we're getting this $3 million, it all sounds too good to be true. She can wait 2 years.
Yeah.
Until the 30th is free.
Yeah.
And we find out she gets a little bit luckier than that, having to wait. But then we had Claire finally goes back to the White House. And I love this line where she had Nev Campbell's character, Leanne.
Yeah, Leanne.
And she tells her, you know, don't get too used to it. We won't be here long. Yeah. You know, and what did you guys think of that dynamic of her returning and then the dynamic with her and Frank?
I just think I don't think they're going to be able to separate themselves yet. So I think it's probably a little bit hard, too, because it's kind of like accepting that you guys are still, like, together and probably going to continue together. Mm-hmm. But I actually, like, at that moment when I saw her go into the room and, you know, it's kind of dark and the earrings are there and he's just making this kind of cheap, but not cheap because clearly those earrings look very expensive, but this kind of, like, cheap move to, you know, bring her back in and almost, like, soften the blow that comes later. And there's just so much tension. I mean, what I saw, it's just kind of like she's there, but she hates that place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very quick.
Yeah.
It was in and out.
Yeah, that was it. And, I mean, she didn't plan to stay much longer after the State of the Union either. Yeah. So.
And then we had that meeting when they're kind of agreeing on where they're going to go, the green room or, you know, and the venom that she kind of had for Frank. She seems to really just hate him. She seems to not like him at all, where it seemed to me he still saw some redeeming qualities and he was trying to kind of smooth things over. He wants her back.
Do you think it's because he actually wants her back or because it will work out better for him with her by his side?
And with Michael on this one.
I think Frank, this was the one person for him that he trusted and honored, and he felt as if he owed her and he wanted to see her do well after he just got through, you know.
You have faith in Frank.
I do a little faith.
I totally didn't. I saw it like your second point, you know, where it's like, I just don't know. I don't trust him. I just don't think he's a good person. And I think he'll do whatever it takes. And although he does kind of say like, oh yeah, you can do it. But you know, once after, you know, I do my thing. So he's just very selfish. And I almost like, I wouldn't even be able to trust him if he even proposed that to me. You know?
He's a very power hungry man. Yeah. And he wants her beneath him. At all costs, he's going to keep her beneath him until the time is right, until he feels like he has accomplished enough. I would hope. Well, I would hope that once it's done.
He hit his 8 years or, you know, how many times he can get
elected. Yeah, but right now, I mean, as he says later, you know, you can become dangerous, and that scares him. Right? That scares him because he knows what she's capable of. Yeah. He would not be with a woman that wasn't up to his level in conniving power.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're together for a reason. I just wonder if, like, he knows that she's not under his control, you know, because it almost seems like sometimes he's like, hey, got you, putting the lid on or whatever, but she's always like boiling up something else. So I wonder what he knows about that, like how he perceives
that.
Well,
I think he expects her to keep kind of taking a run at him. He knows the woman he married. I think he expects her to kind of be fierce, but at some point go, you know what, let's give up the game. This is in the best interest of both of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was just funny to me when he says that. At some point he says in the episode, he's like, you're not thinking about us, you're thinking about like you. And I'm like, I don't really know if he's thinking about them either. I think he's thinking about himself. Like, I guess you could argue that he is thinking about both of them because he'll give her run after. But I just think it's so selfish. I just don't see it that way.
Yeah, I do think he legitimately wants to set her up for her own run. But he's definitely right now in this time thinking about Frank.
You're giving him too much credit. You're thinking he's too good.
You know what? I follow politics, so I think about Bill and Hillary, and I feel like that's the way they did it, and that's what they're doing.
They did not. I was interesting. I was listening to something. Maybe it was Thursday. I think it was Thursday, and I was driving to Phoenix, and we were playing some stuff, and we played like something. It was an interview with Frank. Not actually Frank.
Kevin Spacey.
Yes, and they talked about, he said, a lot of people see Bill and Hillary, but that's not how they planned it. And they just planned it for like this power couple. He said there's a lot of similarities, but he's like, that's not at all really what we had in mind. And they actually, another interesting tidbit is that they put that he was from Georgia, because I think it was either the writer or the director or producer, his father was from Georgia, and it was kind of a way to honor him that he had read the script to him. And he's like, yeah, I'd want it to be from Georgia, kind of, because that's where his father was from.
Even though, because there are the similarities there, and you just, you know, think. Yeah.
To also challenge Frank's kindness, if you will. Let's go to the meeting that they had right before the State of the Union between Frank and Claire. Right afterward, you know, they kind of shoo the planner out of the room. They talk, and it gets to a point where Frank actually begins to kind of question. He poses a couple of questions, like, you know, how is everything going? How's Elizabeth? But then he asks, like, how is your campaign going? She says, okay. Then he asks, like, you know, do you still have Doris? Like, have you found out any kind of solution to the Doris situation? And she says, oh, you know, we're working on it. But he knows that he has all of the power, because he's dealing behind her back with Doris, and he knows exactly what he wants to ask her, because she's not going to come to him for help, and that's what he wants more than anything.
Yeah.
He just wants to feel needed by Claire, and he's not getting that at this moment, and so he storms on into the Oval Office, crosses out part of his State of the Union address.
Yeah. Last minute.
Start of the State of the Union address in order to slay his own wife.
My God. But he didn't want to. He didn't want to. He felt like he was forced to, right?
He feels like it's necessary.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, because I thought that was so interesting. I mean, I guess it's not that interesting because you know that this is going to happen, but how she kind of, like, totally just, like, disregards it and lies to him. Mm. I mean, but I, you know what? That's where I'm kind of with you, where you say, like, just to, you know, challenge Frank's, you know, kindness, he knew all along, and he could have literally been like, yo, Claire, like, I know, you know, but no, it's easier to be a manipulator and, you know, pull the strings.
I think he thinks she needs to get the hard lesson here.
I think he kind of wants to teach her a lesson, totally, which he totally does.
Oh my God.
Before we get there, we should probably talk about Petrov, though.
Yeah, that was my next thing. So they always throw in a big international drama, right?
So,
you know, Frank gets called to the war room, and now we know that we have a Russian national that's seeking asylum because Petrov's been killing high-ranking Russian diplomats that oppose him. What did you guys think about that? How is Frank handling the situation?
I love how you can see what Frank's intentions are, and he clearly believes that the State of the Union is way more important than any Russian nationalist trying to seek asylum. You know, even said, like, he tried to slay a dragon, he failed, and now he has to face the fire.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about this guy until it truly affects him. And then, you know, you've got your Secretary of State who's trying to be a moral compass, saying, you know, we actually have to do this. It's our legal obligation. But, you know, you got Frank, who's got way more on his mind. He still wants to project this this power that he still feels he has. He's finally attained the presidency. And the State of the Union, it's an incredible moment for a president. You only have a couple of times to speak in front of the entire country. And he's not going to let this guy get in his way, despite the fact that it can affect his own economy, because this guy is threatening, like, default of his own country, because Petrov keeps on killing his own guys just to seize their assets. It's crazy.
I think we really see, you know, one, what a president kind of goes through, and that the number of decisions that, you know, don't even make it out to the general public and to just, you know, people in the press. But it's also, we see how strong that he is. And that he's dealing with so many things. If he wasn't dealing with six different things at once, I don't think we would revere him as much.
Yeah.
And how often does an individual literally have the power over another person's life and yet almost be accepted by everybody else in the room depending on whatever his decision is? I mean, he can literally say, all right, screw that guy, send him back home, knowing full well he's sending him to his death.
Yeah, and I just love the scene, just because you know it's going to be a big, major incident as the season goes on. It was almost a footnote in this episode, but you know it's bubbling under the surface.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You have this huge megalomaniac in Petrov. I think they're kind of referencing Putin there, and we'll see how that explodes. But before we get there, we have
that's
a library.
Right. Hey, we have a question, a couple questions for you guys. One, are you curious about a celebrity's boyfriend's midlife crisis? That celebrity, obviously, is Maria Menounos's fiance now, yeah, as of like a week and a half, Kevin Undergaro. Question two, do you enjoy hearing stories from behind the scenes of Hollywood? Juicy secrets, gossip? Also, are you amused by old TV and movie references as well? If you answered yes to any of those questions, even if you didn't, we got a great show for you. You'll love The Tomorrow Show. It premiered this week. It's Monday and Thursday nights from 7 to 9 Pacific time. Pacific time, 7 to 9. They are, Kevin Undergaro is there along with AfterBuzz co-host Roxy Stryer, Ashley Daniels, others. Crazy insanity, really good panel. It's free, thetomorrowshow.com. You can go on iTunes and download it. You can go to tomorrowshow.com. You can go on Twitter. It's a good show. It premiered on Monday. It's also on Thursday nights. Monday, Thursday nights. There's Star Trek costumes. So if you're live long and prosper, this is a show for you. Check it out. Seriously. Nice. It's good.
That's awesome. Yeah, Kevin's a great guy.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations to them. We didn't say it last
indeed.
Week.
Yeah, congratulations. We totally
congratulations, Kevin and Maria.
Yeah, officially. Yeah. Right. Well, we go back and we have a few other relationships to deal with. And we're thrown into Remy and Jackie. And I thought this was resolved. I thought we had moved on. I was hurt by it, but we'd moved on. What did you guys think?
I was like, I mean, I understand when you're like, it's resolved. You know, they had kind of like called it quits or whatever. Yeah. But I was so happy to see that back because I kind of like that. I see a lot of like passion in her when dealing with Remy. It's really the one person that I've seen her get, you know, get her like really worked up. So I was happy that they were back. But everything serves a purpose in this show. So
it does.
It's not that simple. It's not just like laissez-faire, you know, here, let's have sex and then, you know, go our separate ways and exit, you know, through different
and even
exits.
even a little later, we see that it doesn't last.
Yeah. No.
And I was surprised by the tryst just to see it happen. Now I guess she's cheating on the guy now.
Yeah, there was no mention of the husband
or the kids.
Is there a separation
or what's happening?
It was strictly for political gain.
Yeah. I mean, Well, Remy's a smart guy. I mean, he's been around in that circuit for like a long time, even though he's technically retired, which is interesting.
And now he seems to be having sort of a crisis of conscience, doesn't know what to do with himself. Do we see a burgeoning love triangle, or is this just going to be an enemy combatant in Leanne?
Well, I think that there's probably more history with Leanne than what we were shown in this episode. Mm-hmm. And I think there's probably something, some sour, you know, grapes in their love history. I don't know if it's like a love thing, love connection, but they definitely have more history than that was shown in the episode. And I think there's definitely some hard feelings there because she gets really in his face, you know, when they have the conversation at the bar. I mean, that's not like old friends.
But they played it so well because it felt like something was under the surface, but like people normally do when they talk to each other, they hide it. And I almost felt that. So do you think there was a bigger past than what we've seen?
It was very tense. I don't know. I feel like, and it's the same thing. Don't poke your fingers in my shit and I won't do it in yours or whatever. And I think maybe that's part of the reason that he comes out full force saying like, so I heard about big backers in Texas funneling money into California. And I'm like, whoa, you're going to lead with that? That's not even like, that was kind of strong. So I think like, I don't know if he felt like a pressure, maybe because of some kind of history that they have that maybe she knows him and knows what he's getting at, so that he maybe felt a little pressured, a little tense, so he kind of just went with it. And I'm like, what are you doing? You have to have better tactics than that. Yeah. You know what you're doing.
Well, when she even suggests, like, is this a personal visit? I mean, there's a tone in her voice, and then the way that she kind of turns to him, you could tell there was some history. I don't know. I felt it in just that one moment that they exchanged. You could tell that, she was a little disappointed when she found out it wasn't personal. So whatever's going on with Remy and Jackie, though, I see like an interesting juxtaposition in their personalities at the moment, where she is on the up. She feels like she's on the up as far as her career is concerned. His is on the down. And so he's like, he's got less fire in him. He doesn't really care about this sexual encounter. She's really excited about it. I think it just shows like the stress and just where they're at in their lives at this moment.
You know what though? I felt like Remy, given that he's like now retired, and you said something about like the fire not being there, but I didn't see it so much as like the sexual encounter as in like what he's actually doing with his life. I feel like he kind of lost a little bit of purpose.
Totally.
So when he you know, kind of tells off Jackie in a way. It's like, hey, I need to, like, you know, I'm going a little stir crazy, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a way to maybe regroup and, like, reassess his life. Is like, is this okay for me? Do I need to just completely, like, lock off? Or do I need to get back in the game?
I think he's coming back in the game, especially when you see that he doesn't tell Jackie he met with Leanne. He's embarrassed. He's been had. Leanne got him.
She got him.
And I think he's upset that she's better than he is right now. Mm-hmm. And so I think he's having that, like, we're going to take a moment and come out of the woods and come back firing.
It can be so tough when you're in so deep that it's like then to just, you know, almost cold turkey. It's hard to do that. And so I think that's what he's certainly experiencing, a little regret, and I think he'll get back involved.
Can I just say, though, Leanne is really strong. Mm-hmm. I very much like what she's doing. I was like, whoa. She just kind of, like, shut him down and, you know, didn't even entertain it, didn't even, like, flirt or anything, just kind of, like, get off my back. I won't get in your business. We're done here. Like, I loved that. I thought that was great.
And Remy, I think, is attracted to that. And so I kind of predict down the road that maybe Remy might even join Claire's campaign. That's my personal prediction, because I think that he and Leanne have a little something, so they will be able to challenge one another. And I also think that Remy still kind of wants to get back at Frank for really giving it to him during the whole Xander Fang issue. I think that might occur. So I'm crossing my fingers for
excited.
I love Remy.
I'm excited to see Leanne versus Jackie. I want to see what they're going to pull out. Because I think it's going to raise Jackie's level, and she's going to really pull out some crazy stops here.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
absolutely. Back to the State of the Union.
Back to the main show. And so
fireworks.
So we have that little weird thing between Claire and her mom, and her mom says, Claire, don't wear the white. Don't wear the ivory. You know, your figure. That'll show everything.
You know what? She's just awful, but also great as, like, a character. Yeah. But she's just awful because it's like, what kind of relationship is this?
But what does it say about Claire that she wore the white?
And completely defiant. She's like, sorry, mom. And it just shows, like, more tension within their relationship. So I love that.
Yeah. I think this whole episode really was almost Claire's independence. That even the one thing that you think relationship maybe that she has, she completely burns it. And doing that and just completely going against. And then even, you know, at the end, but with the house. And it's like, my goodness, like, this is your mother. And it's like, you're completely severing all ties for power.
Yeah. It breaks my heart because Elizabeth clearly is very endearing. She's a very strong woman. And you can see where Claire got it from, especially when she says right at the beginning, she's taking her cancer medication.
Yeah.
And she says she's at a pedicure. It's like out of nowhere. Like, you can tell your own daughter what you're doing, but she doesn't want anybody to feel bad for her. She wants to, you know, stay and strong on her own, just like Claire is trying to do with Frank.
These people are all about face. Like, not face value, but, like, all about having that strong exterior and not letting their vulnerabilities show. Yeah. Which at some point it cracks. You know, at the end we kind of get that, you know. She flings off her little cap, and I was like, whoa, moment of, like, you know. But that says a lot. She's kind of, like, really up in her face and letting it all come out.
Well, yeah, I thought this was Claire's rebellious episode, to me, Claire seems like someone who, while she's had power, has always been controlled by someone. Even when we get to the fact that her little private outings, where she would sneak away and have a cigarette, even her dad knew about that one. So she's never had a moment where she was a rebel, and it stuck. You know, everything was allowed. Everything was tolerated. And so I think we see her coming to her full sort of, I'm going to be who I am.
Tolerated. I like that.
It must be very hard, though, having someone watching your every move and controlling everything you do and always, like, you know, just right here, just, like, always hovering. So it must be very hard. So I don't blame her for wanting to break out and be her own person, no matter how she gets that done.
Yeah.
Do you see her continuing? I mean, this might be too much. Do we see her continuing on this, you know, independent thing of, or do we see her cracking at all of this defiance?
I think she's going to be defiant because what really got me, and we'll talk more about it, but with Frank at the end, he tells that story. He loves his little aside. And he had that guy just stood up in the tree and he just had to keep chopping and he'd come down every day and offer him some food and he said no.
Yeah.
And so I think that theme coupled with this entire episode was about Claire's persona and her persona of defiance. And with that at the end, you just think it's not going to end well, but she's going to stick to it this entire season.
I see her breaking down, not fully, but I see her breaking down a little emotionally here in about 2 or 3 episodes.
Yeah, I agree with you that she will break down, but mm-hmm. I do think she's going to continue in mm-hmm. kind of this defiant path. But I do think that you can't be there the whole time.
Because it's one of her first times where she's really, like, just screwing everybody and saying, this is me.
Yeah, slash and burn. She's yeah. just, yeah. Yes,
totally
she's
slash and burn. Mm-hmm.
But she gets a nice little compliment, you know, with U.S.-Russia relations mm-hmm. when Frank begins the State of the Union.
So, although she's like, right at that moment, I'm like, this is not going to go well. This is, her face is just kind of like, what?
And what was the best line? I think the best line was like undercover. Celia goes, oh, thank you for having me. I don't think Claire knew Celia was going to be seated next to her.
No idea.
Or even be there at the State of the
Union. You guys thought that? Okay, I actually thought she did know and that she had arranged for her there.
She looked a little surprised and kind of took the thank you.
Well, right when Frank stormed on into the Oval Office to amend his speech there, he said, and add one more name to the guest list.
I thought that was Doris.
I missed that.
But I thought that was Doris.
Yeah. But I did.
She's already going to be there. She's a member of Congress.
Okay, now I know.
Yeah, so yeah, she did look surprised, and she just took the okay, and now she knows something's afoot. And she gets a little compliment, U.S.-Russia relations, you know.
You guys are right, though, because then he, like, completely shouts out to her, so never mind. We're good.
Totally.
Yeah. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
So and then they build it up with the Cancer Research Center, and you can only imagine what is going through Claire's mind at this point of, like, what's happening?
I mean, her face is perfect because you literally can read all her thoughts. You're like, what the?
But she holds enough just to be that stoic person who would be at the State of the Union and not showing, but you can see it, but not.
I would have literally, you would have been able to see on my face that I wouldn't have been happy, but she was very like, she did kind of like, oh yeah, clap along, you know, do my first lady thing.
The ivory dress was a bad decision because she just looked like a ghost after that.
Oh yeah.
It was awful. And for Frank to call out on over to Doris, like pretty much giving her a standing ovation by the political elite of Washington, D.C. on national television, and then to say that Celia is going to end up going into her congressional seat was just heartbreaking.
Trump card laid.
Heartbreaking.
It was
Helen Keller card of apples to apples.
I started thinking off in the episode, Claire's really got him. Claire's got this. Because, you know, she somehow got Celia on her side. Yeah. You know, like, how did that happen?
But as soon as that call from Doris comes in, I'm just like, guys. But you know what? It's just like, it was heartbreaking. But at the same time, I'm like, this is Frank. This doesn't surprise me. I guess it did surprise me in a way because I really did think she had it in the bag. But then I'm like, well, classic Frank.
And to kind of go along with my own Remy prediction, I thought what was kind of cool, and I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but the reactions that we saw from like the cuts that we were getting to Frank's speech regarding Doris and Celia, we saw cuts from Claire, Leanne, Remy, and Elizabeth, like the people, and Jackie, and Jackie Sharp, the people who are in Claire's life, who saw all of the damage being done by her husband, and who I feel like are going to now rally around her in the best way possible.
Yeah, even though Leanne asks for a serious sum, but yeah, totally. Totally.
She's hopefully worth it.
And I think what I loved about it was, you know, so it's after State of the Union, she's on the way to the airport, and on president's orders, we're going right back to the White House.
Yeah.
Just to let her know that I still retain a good amount of control over
These people work for me.
Yeah, if you want to leave, it's on my permission, and you're going to ask for it.
Yeah.
So what do you guys?
I hated that. I was like, oh, seriously? Sorry, I hate how much control he has over her. That's why I'm so excited to possibly see her really just, like, get him.
Here's a question, and don't take this the wrong way, but obviously you're the only woman on this panel.
Do you see? No, I'm kidding. I didn't know that. No.
Do you look at it of, are you, I mean, this is a question for any women, and once again, I totally don't mean to be sexist at all, but is this something that you're hoping that she succeeds from a woman's standpoint, too?
I mean, yes, just because I think that he's very, he's a little bit like chauvinistic, a little bit, and I do see a lot of sexism between them. So I do think that I hope that she succeeds from a female's perspective, but I also just don't like what he's doing.
Absolutely.
Like, regardless, I feel like if it were, you know, two, like a same-sex couple or whatever, I feel like there's way too much power on one end and it's just not fair.
No, he's definitely chauvinistic. That's kind of why I asked that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
How do you feel? Because obviously you have a different interpretation than the rest of us.
No, you guys also thought he was chauvinistic, right?
But it kind of hits
home in a way, in the sense that like we don't want to be in that position because we're completely worthy, and Claire is incredibly intelligent, and it's like, why should this man have so much control over her? Even if it's just with the motorcade, I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, she should totally have her own life where she can be like, no, excuse me, you're taking me to the airport and this is the end of the conversation.
But I do think sexism in general probably played a role, because when they're coming up through the political scene, you know, it's probably, they're older, so it's 70s, 80s, 90s, as they're coming up, it was a sexist culture. Mm-hmm. And so it would have been easier for him to succeed early on. And then once he succeeded, be able to bring her up. Mm-hmm. And so I think you see that those themes kind of playing out through what's happening. Today it would be a different conversation, but I think you see that playing out, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's almost too far in to go back and switch it around.
Exactly, yeah, because he's already been set up for that path.
But then he does help her. I mean, he says, you know, he wants to say he will fight for her for the Senate seat.
Yeah.
And he says in 2 to 4 years, quote, want it to come from a position of strength.
But so, can we even trust... Can we truly trust Frank at this point?
He did appoint her ambassador after she lost the confirmation.
He did, but like, she's in a different place now than she was then. There's almost a sense of betrayal almost on Frank's end, I think, because he feels as if she no longer needs him. Mm-hmm. And that's all that he wants, is just to feel needed more than anybody else.
But because of that, I legitimately think if she came back and said, he would say all's forgiven. I think he needs to feel needed so bad, he'll forgive everything if he feels she's really come back home.
The only way that I agree with you in having faith in Frank is that he can't get any higher position. Yeah. There's no, like, this world dictator. This is it. This is it. And there's only a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
So I look at it maybe from that perspective. He's like, he wants to at least win one and maybe win another one because, you know, he was appointed kind of midway. So he can actually be an FDR, the only one to ever actually go past two terms. And he can go, you know, 10 or 11 years. But there's a limit. And so I think even he sees that. Someone who is as much of a strategist as he is would know that. And so he will know that in order to even help stay in the limelight and to stay in power. I mean, people are still talking about Bill because Hillary's running.
Yeah.
And so he can be that and help her, and then he can be that savior. He can be that guy still in the limelight.
That's a great point. I'm kind of a low-key Frank fan, I guess. I feel like he's at the end of the race. He's at the end of the race, and he's thinking, come on, why would you leave it now? We got what we came for.
That's true. It's several years. I mean, congressional race after congressional race.
This is random, but we have, I think, Aníbal García. Aníbal? I don't know. Aníbal. Sorry, I read it in, like, Spanish. I don't know.
Maybe you're right. I don't know.
You are, I don't know.
Argentinian.
But, he or she, I don't know who you are, but says, like, it feels like Billary, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. So I'm glad that somebody else feels kind of that way. That's interesting. Yeah, and I also like the Billary, like, name mashup thing.
I do like
it's
that.
It's pretty good.
So what we got, Frank and Claire, what are they together?
Claire.
I like Claire.
Sounds a lot better than Clank.
And so as I talked a little bit earlier, we had that great aside from Frank. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think about that beautiful story you told?
Oh, it was epic. I mean, it pretty much, it was the perfect analogy between what's going on with him and Claire. He can go on up to a kid with, well, scrambled eggs as, like, giving something on a silver plate for this guy to feel like he is included, and yet just like Claire, he can give everything he has to her, but if she doesn't come around and doesn't change her ways, it's the axe. And he feels like he's ready to do that for Claire. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time.
I really enjoyed having that broken fourth wall thing. Yes! Yeah. Okay, for those of you that might be listening on iTunes, Michael just had like an outburst because he agrees with me. I love those moments. And this one was like really long,
nice
too.
Nice and intense, yeah.
But I think it's just the perfect way to sum up what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I feel like he's kind of like giving us a little pre.
And I love how presidential it is, because presidents and people running for campaign, they always like to tell personal stories that relate to what's happening.
You're so right. Yeah, that is so true.
Well, let me tell you about little Bobby. But so, I thought it was really good. But now Claire's having to regroup. And so she goes back to Leanne, and she's obviously going to abandon the 30th, but she wants something bigger. What did you guys think about her resolve here?
determination.
Yeah.
I mean, just not giving up. I mean, it's too early for her to give up or to, you know, break or to, you know, join. It's too early. So we knew she was going to push for something else. But the issue then is, I mean, oh, she said, though, that's right. She said that she wants something now. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if we've realized what races are even open now.
Yeah, they probably dropped some hint that we may have missed.
They never actually talked.
What she says that she's thinking for this session,
this cycle,
and I was like, whoa, or this cycle. Yeah. So that's kind of like, I don't know exactly what she's planning, but I mean, she can't give up. She can't be like, well, Frank is right, I'll just sit quietly. Like, that's not what this episode's been about. So, of course, she's going to, like, rebel and do her own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like it that, you know, Leanne was kind of like, hey, we have to talk about my money here. Mm-hmm. That's quite an amount of money.
And we have a real partnership mm-hmm. between the two, because Leanne was hesitant in the very beginning, but now she is like, okay, we're going to do this as a team.
Well, I think she understands where this can kind of take her mm-hmm. if it succeeds.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
And I think that is absolutely what she's invested in. Not just Claire, because I mean, like, sure. It also surprises me that they hadn't talked money previously, just saying.
Yeah.
Or at least that we didn't know about that. I was like, really? You just kind of went? Okay. But yeah, I think whatever she's going to get out of this, this is what she's investing in. Like, what that's going to mean for her career later.
Mm-hmm. And what are we thinking right now as far as what political office she's shooting for at this stage?
It's not Senate. Senate's 2 years.
Governorship. I mean, there's
governorship is possible.
I'm just going to pose the question.
Yeah.
I mean,
pose it.
Would she run against? Would there be any incentive to run against?
It would be political suicide for Frank
and her. It's like she would sabotage the situation more than anything.
But do I see her maybe getting on a VP ticket?
Oh my God, that'd be crazy.
And forcing Frank to take her as the VP.
Ooh.
No.
I mean, yeah, it's possible. I don't feel like running against, because she already talks about, like, even if she had to drop her last name or whatever, it's all like, it's very, like, again, just about that face. Like, it wouldn't look right.
Yeah, so if she's not willing to drop the last name, she's probably not going to run against him, but she's smart enough.
She's smart enough to know that whatever she does, she can't bring herself down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those in our chat room, please share your thoughts. What political office do you think that Claire is going for at this point in time? Kind of curious.
But no spoilers, because we're all watching. watching one episode at
up
a time.
To season, season 4, episode 2. Up to that point, no spoilers.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've heard it's been crazy tough. Okay, let's just say this right now. It's crazy tough not to watch ahead.
Yes.
Yeah. When so many other friends are like, how far are you? Yeah. What do you think about this? And I've had so many friends tell me that they think this season is far better than last season.
That's what everybody's told me so far.
Yeah, I'm excited. And, I mean, you two last week had actually – you'd watched the second episode prior to us.
No, I hadn't.
Okay, it was just Michael.
I had.
So my reconciliation
prediction was totally off.
I would just like to say that right now. So we'll see what happens. But
yeah, so fantasy stats guru, don't. I know you know, so don't say it.
Thank you.
Nice.
Oh, man. One more plot line that I still discuss is obviously another conversation between Petrov.
Oh, yeah.
And saying that he thinks that America, you know, is their plan, America's plan, the overthrow of him.
Well, yeah, and that's what I thought. That was almost a footnote, but it's got to be big. If the president of Russia thinks that they're involved in a potential coup.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and they just, you know, Frank kind of dismissed it, but I think we're going to see that really be the central theme that breaks down a lot of stuff in the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last season, we had dealt with, what was his name? The guy that we dealt with. The U.S. national over in Russia. What was the name again? Anyway, now we're dealing with Milken. And what is going to come with him? I mean, is there going to be a negotiation of some sort, or is it just going to be another Cold War era that's actually in this series?
I think it's going to be fiery. I'm excited for it.
It's so interesting, I think, like, obviously that in the show Russia's involved, because it seems like Russia, obviously with the, you know, Syrian crisis at the moment, it's like I just saw it in the news and it always seems like they're kind of like at odds with the United States. That makes sense. It's kind of like a more historical thing, but it's just like so relevant, even though I don't know if they planned it that way. There's no way to know if they did that because it's kind of like not, you know, they obviously did this a couple months before, mm-hmm. a year before, but it's always so interesting to see how relevant, like, what's going on in the show is to what we're living, like.
Yeah. Well, I think they based that character off of Putin, and just if you have a volatile leader, volatile things will happen. So,
yes.
but what about, so we go back to that last scene, and now Claire needs to self-fund because, mm-hmm. you know, this whole plan has kind of fallen by the wayside.
I think that was probably my favorite scene of the episode, the one with Elizabeth at the end.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys caught this, but, like, you know, she's telling her, you know, you weren't there for me and whatnot. And she's like, you didn't tell me you were sick. And it's like, because you had turned your back on me. And then before Elizabeth goes up the stairs, she says, I am the mother. She doesn't say I'm your mother. She says, I'm the mother.
Yeah.
So I don't understand, like, why that choice of word. But I think that's, like, it just speaks a lot to, like, how Elizabeth sees herself and kind of what she represents. She's the one who has the money.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. I thought it was that construct of I have the power, not you.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I think there is a very, like, feminist theme here, because it was like the husband died, and she knows that daddy would have always given her the money, mm-hmm. but no, mom is in control. I am the mother. I control this.
Yeah.
And Claire is trying to be rebellious because she's always been controlled. So you have these two women who are very strong, who have probably both felt very controlled, and are now both being very independent, so they're clashing. It was a very powerful scene for me.
I thought it was so crazy how she's just like, well, I will sell, you know, the it's in a fund or whatever, but the land is in my name, so I will sell it from under you. And I'm like, mm-hmm. what? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. How can you do that? I'm hoping that they expand a little bit more on their relationship, but it seems like that's what it's been for so long, you know, just turning their backs on each other, not being there.
Yeah, I mean, I love Claire, where she sells that land from underneath her mom. I will hate that character for
exactly. I'm like, who does angry. That? And on top of that, the mom being sick, I'm like, who are you? Is it that bad? Is that how much you want it that you're willing to put her through such a horrible situation? I'm like, it's not right.
I saw a lot of Frank in Claire at that moment, and it was very uncharacteristic. Totally. Yeah. But I mean, it's almost where she is at right now. She's at a breaking point where she's now fighting for her own survival.
Mm-hmm. And I think we haven't seen Claire, so we're starting to see her. She might just be just like Frank, but we just haven't seen her be her.
Or you know what I also thought? Maybe she's rationalized that in order to succeed in this kind of situation and in this world, you have to be like Frank. So she's like, that's what I'm going to be.
And I think you kind of hit it right there.
Something, you know, I know we were wrapping up here, but it's interesting, as Frank and Claire have always risen, he's always been the one to make these, you know, big, bold decisions. She's always been there to support him. Now that they're making these decisions on their own, will it be tougher for her to make them, not having that person behind you saying, you need to do this?
For both
you
of them, need I to, think. Yeah.
And so that's why I think that she will crack here in about a couple episodes. Not stop. But at least have a moment and kind of break down a little bit, because she's not having that person. She doesn't have, like, really anyone in her corner.
Sort of like a prediction. So let's just go into predictions.
Predictions?
Yeah. What predictions you guys have? You want to start over there?
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
We'll let it go for a little bit. I have to say, I've said it a couple of times. I think that Remy, Leanne, hopefully Jackie Sharp, they'll all kind of team up with Claire at some point in time this season. I think that's my big prediction, is that there's going to be like a team that's helping out Claire, and she's not going to feel on her own anymore.
Yeah, I agree. I think Remy's probably going to get back in the game, which I'm so excited for, because I really mm-hmm. kind of miss his participation and that kind of thing versus, you know, with just like Jackie as a lover. And then I think it was you, Shaka, who said that Leanne, that you see her dead. Who said that? Well, one of you guys said that see Leanne dead. And I was like, you know what?
Yes.
Yeah.
Think she might fall.
And I think that unfortunately, as much as we're going to see Claire try and break out from, you know, Frank's control and, you know, manipulations and stuff, she's going to revert back to being in that position, because I think she might see that that's actually more beneficial to her, and maybe she'll find a way to make it work even better for her. Maybe it is the VP, I don't know, but something like that. I don't think she's gonna quite go all the way with what she's doing right now. I think she's gonna continue like down this kind of path that she's exploring, but I don't think she's quite gonna get to like the office that she wanted to. I think she's gonna end up somewhere with Frank.
I see Frank reaching out a little more to her, because I look at, you know, he's struggling overall in the polls right now. And you look at the actual presidential race that he's in, another one of the big plots.
Gave up New Hampshire.
Yeah, in that he needs her. As much as he doesn't want to admit it, she is, you know, viewed as a good person alongside him. And like, once again, likability is as much of electability as getting into office. And so for him to be likable, I think he needs her. And I think he knows that. And even just to have a good couple is important.
Well, for me, the question was, is Frank going to use that axe? And when I watched it the second time, there's a little moment, I don't know if you remember, Claire asked for a drink. She says, pour me a drink. And he says, here, have mine. And she was so reviled and so disgusted, but didn't show it. She said she didn't want the drink at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, showed that she's going to be in this for the long haul. I predict Frank does something drastic about the second to last episode, and we see Claire have some sort of, like, comeback the last episode.
You know, that's great. I didn't realize that that little bit, but it's even, like, she can't even have her own drink.
Yeah.
Ugh, Claire, get yourself out, girl. Just saying.
And she's just so reviled by it. So, yeah. We'll see what happens. I'm excited to watch episode 3. It's been killing me. Like, right now, wait. But, you know, I
absolutely
think it's great
now,
for the show.
Now we can. And just checked IMDb. We were talking a little beforehand. IMDb has season 5 up as a premiere of March 5th, 2017.
Love it.
So...
For all of you guys that have binged watch it, it's going to be a long year.
Well, we are going to sign off. Hopefully you guys download us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Please comment on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter. Comment us. And we will...
Where can they find you?
Shaka Strong.
There you go.
Across all platforms.
On Instagram, at the only MC. On Twitter, at Michael Klaus TV. And Snapchat... Sure, we'll throw it in. As seen on TV. TEEVEE. As seen on TV.
I'm obsessed with Snapchat, so I'm going to start with that one. You can find me there at MGCVSST, and then on Twitter and Instagram at Maria Cavasudo. And yes, follow me, like, tweet at me. I like to talk to you guys, also on YouTube, so yay.
You can follow me at the Kevin Ellis on Twitter or Kevin Ellis 25 on Instagram. Thank you to Fantasy Stats Guru and Annabelle Garcia for joining us in our chat room.
Yeah, and also Fantasy Stats Guru. Woo!
Woo! Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week, Wednesday at 8 p.m.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.